if you have an influence over your youthful friend, you better exert it now. Otherwise, I will have both of you row off to the hell where people are skinned alive. It's that simple, understand?
Are you crazy? Is that your problem?
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
That's awesome.
Hello there.
Hello there. This is Jim. That is Clarkson. We are the Film Thugs, coming to you live from Big Flat Studios.
I'm home.
Hile, honey.
Hile, honey.
Hile, honey. Because I'm home. Gee, it's great to be talking, but it's nothing like the fun that I get when I say hile, honey, I am home. Hile, honey, hile, smile, honey, gee, it's great to be back. Hile, honey, I'm home.
Hi.
The greatest, like, I want, if I could travel through time, I want to sit on the meetings where someone said, hile, honey, I'm home, go for it. Perfect.
Yeah,
nothing could
great.
Possibly go wrong here. Nothing at all.
From the people that brought you Small Wonder. I don't know if they ever didn't. But,
We are in beautiful downtown Leander, Texas, such as it is.
It is.
And we are enjoying the last of our Angel's Envy in Campbell Homestead. Oh, that's sexy. Oh, that is man size good. Mm-mm. So,
very smooth.
We are a week into living in this place, basically.
Yeah, Jim has lived outside.
Mm-hmm. I've been camped out in the backyard. It's nice, though. I have what the Native Americans called a lean-to.
Ah.
Yes.
Is that what they're calling it now?
That's what they're calling it now, yeah.
I see.
It was, I actually live in the gap between the fences in the back.
It was just called a shit nest, but the guy who made it was called lean-to.
That's terribly offensive,
no,
sir.
No, it's not. You're too goddamn sensitive. That's the problem.
Nice. So I got a... This week, I got a couple of notes of some shit to talk about before we jump into the Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right into him.
Right into him. Full on. Full on. So, the Oscars was this weekend, or as I like to call it, there wasn't much preachiness, but being lectured about morality from people who make millions of dollars and yet complain about income inequality.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yes.
I'd say that I watched the whole thing, the whole damn thing.
Yeah,
because I didn't have to work the next day.
Okay,
so it's like, let's just watch.
Why the fuck not? Yeah,
the wife likes it.
Yeah,
I'm not against it.
Right.
Watched the whole thing. Jared Leto had the speech of the night.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't hear his. I started listening near the end.
As far as speech of the night, in the real world, like where everything's normal and people go to jobs,
right.
9 to 5, and everything's fine.
Yeah,
the intergalactic. Fucking Galactus Master speech of the night goes to our boy McConaughey.
Oh God, yeah.
Who brought it on home to Texas.
and
whose hero is him 10 years in the future.
Yeah, 10 years in the future.
Chris
man.
Gore.
That's right, right, man.
Chris Gore, who follows us.
Yeah.
his tweet of the night, my tweet of the night from Chris Gore, rather, was my hero is Matthew McConaughey 10 years from now. I'm stealing that. Thanks, Chris, because that is very true.
I just love the fact that at the end he was like, I want to say, just keep living. All right, all right, all right. Like, yep. Yeah. The best joke about him was he launched his Just Keep Living clothing line back in the day. And when they announced it on Weekend Update, Seth Meyers was like, you know, Matthew McConaughey's got a new line of clothing. What's it called? All right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Which, I'll be honest, I'm more likely to buy All Right, All Right, All Right brand anything than I am JKL.
Yeah.
That's right, man. You just got to keep living.
No.
Just got to keep living.
Just keep living.
I'm just going to tell you, man. That's how it's
fuck all of that. Fuck yeah. JKL. Fuck All Right, All Right, All Right. Write them. Fuck them all in the face. I want fucking Magic Hour clothing.
Oh, God. That would be awesome.
Magic Hour.
It's all pants and vests.
Yeah.
That's it.
Perfect.
That's it. Yeah.
Because he has the best look in any movie ever, so next to Cobra.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've adopted it. albeit fat and with longer arms.
Albeit a doughier, a doughier, more angular version somehow.
Somehow more angular.
I got to say, I watched the commercial that you did with Woody's folks.
I like the Monty Python walk.
You at the end, when you walk by, it's like, I know your lumbering gait so much. I was like, check in the mail?
Yeah.
Just because you just boom, 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 well, boom, boom.
Here's the thing. I can't remember the director's name. Sorry. He was like, well, why don't you run?
and then you ran, and it looked like a lava lamp.
No. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Woody's like, no, let's not have him run. I'm like, no, you do not want that.
You don't want that.
This is going to go from serious to hilarious. Because I am flat-footed as Donald fucking Duck.
It's like me running, because that's just, you want to talk about a collection of arms, just
yeah. It's not what you want to see.
No, like, not at all.
A smaller yet similar version of Grossberger running through your yard. So instead, it just looks like me doing the Benny Hill walk as I take off. Yeah,
like leaning forward.
I just remember going, that's all the footage. I was there a long fucking time, and they filmed a lot of shit. They filmed me throwing a rock from behind, picking shit up, doing this, walking past. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah, okay.
Anybody could have fucking done that. You didn't need to hire me. I'm just saying, I'm glad I got the gig.
Yeah, why not? Oh, now that's going to be top on your resume.
Yeah, I was in the door jammer. I got door jammed.
And I remember it like it was yesterday.
I kicked through the fucking door the first take, so we had to do something differently. So I don't know about the door jammer. It will keep that one piece on, but I will kick through your fucking door, and if I want to rape your television,
yeah,
I'm raping it.
Oh, don't I know it.
So
I had to get a new set door just jammer. To get rid of the smell.
Whirlpool.
So South by Southwest has descended upon Austin, which means everything is getting a little tighter jeaned and bigger glasses. I'm avoiding downtown like it causes cancer this week because it pretty much does for me.
Yeah.
Poor Hope is in the fucking middle of it. She's in the eye of that hurricane, and she despises all of this. However, the woman who invented the Cronut will be introducing something that I think, dare I say, better than the Cronut.
Okay.
It is a milk and cookie shot where it is a cookie in the shape of a shot glass that you fill with milk and boom. I think that's the fucking greatest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Sure, you're going to say the Crolachi.
Patent pending.
You're here first. Don't you even try it, lady.
Yeah, we will punch you in the fucking head.
I will rape your television.
Yes.
You know what I mean by that.
Yes.
Rape your television.
Oh, speaking of Austin, guess who I found out lives in Austin now?
Who's that?
I'll give you a hint. You can feel their ubiquity. The Jesus twins.
Holy Lord. Why?
I don't know, but they live in Austin. All I want to know is, does their manager? Because I have to say, across the board, he is possibly the greatest performer that has ever been on any form of broadcast medium. He is fantastic. Compromisable, yes. But that dude, that if you've never seen it, so you good. Have to look that shit. It's the greatest goddamn thing you'll ever see in your life. I think it's a work, but it's totally. The greatest work ever.
But it's a good work.
Oh yeah. We had the greatest musicians ever. No, but good for you.
Fuck you, Gary.
Did you hear about the guy suing the casino because he got drunk and he's like, they kept feeding me drinks, got me visibly drunk, and I woke up the next morning $500,000 in debt to them. Oh, and so he's suing, saying, they got me drunk, and that's not right, and that's against the law. Yeah.
No.
Although technically, yes, it is. They can't, but there's certain things they're not supposed to do.
Oh, they can't serve them, yeah.
They can't serve them, and if somebody's visibly drunk, then blah, blah, blah. But motherfucker, no. This is like that twat who sued her fucking parents. You heard this one, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the judge is like, no.
No.
You're not doing that.
No.
She sued her parents because she said they kicked her out of the house, and they're like, look, we said we don't like her dating this guy. Here are the rules you have to follow. She got snitty and moved out, and now she's trying to sue us for living expenses? Fuck you.
No. Sorry.
Little asshole that she is. You can tell just by looking at pictures of her face that she's just insufferable.
Consider a song like Slap a Ho, which you mentioned by the group Dove Shack, which touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
Or daughter.
Or daughter. Yeah. That is, though, not my favorite court case this week. A guy sued the school district that he worked at, fired him on an age discrimination case.
Okay.
He won and was awarded $80,000. Signed confidentiality agreement, all that. His daughter posts on Facebook, looks like, woohoo, we won. Looks like this school district is paying for my trip to Europe. Suck it. It got floated around, got to the school district who said, oh, yeah, we're not paying you. Took it to court and the judge said, yes, that is a direct violation of your confidentiality, non-disclosure agreement. You get nothing. Good day, sir. And here's the question I have. On a scale of one being a stern talking to and 10 being beaten to death, what kind of tombstone would your parents have bought for your grave after they beat you to death?
There would be no tombstone.
Buried out in a field somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's like the...
next to the lean-to.
It's like the Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are drowning. You only have enough time to save one. What kind of sandwich do you make?
Yes. That's true.
Dagwood. That's what I would make.
That's what I would have.
Let's see here. Oh, and Olivia Wilde was part of this stage reading. She's part of this feminist group in Hollywood that says every once in a while, let's do stage script readings where we switch the gender roles.
Okay.
And they did one with American Pie where they switched male to female. And she was like, halfway through, the guys were just sitting there looking bored and uncomfortable. And afterwards, all of them said, God, playing the girl part sucks.
Yeah.
Something we've been saying for how long now?
Long time.
It sucks. Also, I came up. Oh, did you see Liz Wall resign from the Russian TV station, whatever, on air? She's like, my parents were Ukrainian, and I cannot be part of something that's sanctioned by the Russian government and pushing Vladimir Putin's propaganda. So at the end of this broadcast, I will be resigning.
Bye-bye.
Like, well, good for you. Well, good you for stood you. Up. Yeah, you sure. stood up. And I've come up with the best idea for a movie remake ever. It's called The Kajikimbo Kid.
Okay.
But it's where a kid moves to a new city and some local toughs try to rough him up, but the kid knows Kajikimbo and, like, first scene just hospitalizes all of them.
That's a good movie.
That's it.
I like it.
That's it. That's all. I think that would be fantastic.
Is the kid that knows Kajikimbo just minding his own business?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, he's just minding his own business.
Not being an asshole.
Not being an asshole, just walking down the street.
Not pushing it.
Nope.
Okay.
See, right. that I will say, have you seen the remake of The Karate Kid?
No.
They fixed all of that shit.
That's why they made it.
Yeah, they really
did. We want to update it to bring it in. No, you didn't.
No, you don't.
You wanted to fix all these glaring problems.
Yep.
That's why you want to fix it.
Yeah, pretty much. And boy, did they. I think they did a great job of that. That's pretty much all that I've got on my notes for other things this week. I thought it was more, but I forget that when we haven't recorded in a while, we tend to be a little like, this happened, and then this, and then this, and then this.
Yes. That's kind of what happened. Now, we're at that part. Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, good night.
That level. Good night. Take care. Now it's time to drop the mic. Yeah. Oh, all right. So this week, we decided to just not jump on it immediately, give a little bit of time to
breathe.
Get past after the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who we spoke about right after it happened because it was, I mean, how do you not? It's something that kind of pisses you off that's sort of, I don't know. I'm still pissed about it.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed about it. And that's the only way to put my feelings there is that I'm angry.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much that anytime it's a drug death, it's like, fuck, you know, come on, man. There were people who cared about you who could have, and I don't blame them, but I blame them. You know, I don't get too condemnation of them, but it's more like I'm not angry. I'm just fucking disappointed, you know? And that's really how I feel. Cause he was a goddamn great actor.
Very.
He had the best philosophy I've ever heard. After he won some award, he talked about a teacher saying, you know, if you ever are given the opportunity to act, it doesn't matter if it's in an audition, where it is, you have to act as though You have to put everything you have into it. You can't half-ass it. You have to act with that passion and that conviction, no matter what the circumstances. And I love that. I mean, and it's obvious if you look at his career. No matter what he was in, it was like, God damn, that dude committed.
Yes. Every
you were
time.
In it to win it, son.
Even in triple bogey on a par five hole.
I'm looking at the early stuff. It's like, I hate it when it skips stuff. He did some Law and Order.
Yeah.
He played Clutch in Triple Bogey on a Five. He was in My New Gun, which I never saw.
No, nor I.
Also Leap of Faith, which I barely remember him from, but I have a personal memory about a girl from camp who was an extra in that movie. And that's all I'm going to say.
I see.
That's all I'm going to say.
She played the trumpet?
She did.
Huh.
Quite expertly. Quite wonderfully what I say, don't you know? He was not terribly memorable in that, but he was very memorable in Scent of a Woman, where he played that asshole. He was one of the asshole guys that got Chris O'Donnell's character in trouble and then was like, hey, man, what's the fucking problem?
Yeah.
He could pull that kind of like looking at you like, oh, really? You're upset about this? So well. That he could pull off that face you wanted to punch, that Bill Maher face, where you just want to fucking see if you can make the nose touch the back of the skull.
I can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's expert at that. And I just want to get to some parts that I know him from that people... Joey Breaker. Don't know anything about that. My Boyfriend's Back, which I think that was shot in the San Antonio area. That's all I know about it. Money for Nothing. The Getaway. I barely remember that.
I sort of remember him in Nobody's Fool.
See, I only saw Nobody's Fool once, so I can't say.
Sort of.
He was in When a Man Loves a Woman, which, boy, that's an inappropriate title. Well, not really. It's a weird title for that movie because it's Al Franken wrote it. Not a comedy. It's about a husband and whose wife is an alcoholic and dealing with that. Like, one of those things where that title does not let you know what you're going to see.
It's not a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't promise to be a good time either. I'm not blaming it. Just saying.
Yeah. 15-minute Hamlet. Haven't seen it. But Hard Eight, also known as Sydney, Paul Thomas Anderson's first movie, I do remember him from.
Mm.
He had a very small part in it near the end. He was this like cocky craps player.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about somebody fucking committing to a role? You want to talk about just the full 100% in it to win it to the fucking bitter end performance?
Right.
That was it. He was all goddamn over it. Fantastic. But it's like at the end, it's this sort of hard luck tale of this old gambler who kind of knows how to game the system a little bit, but he's sort of a low rent guy who's able to get by, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, he's there, you know, Seymour Hoffman is like, you know, he's got the hot hand in a dice game and he's just rolling crazy. And the old guy, you know, Philip Baker Hall, the other guy comes in and starts betting. He's like, that's right, old timer, this one's for you. Woo! Yeah, that's right, boom. And then the guy bets everything. He's like, that's right. Rolls it and busts him. And just the turn that Hoffman does in it, where he goes from this man, to just, I am terribly sorry, and I can't even look at you now. I need to shut the fuck up. But yeah, he was quite good in that. And then, of course, Twister, which is another movie that I have a grand memory of. There was this, you know, back in college when there were those girls you'd sort of flirt with for a while, blah, and then you'd just out of nowhere start going out. You'd finally just, it was like the first three dates vanished and boom. Okay, now we're just, This was like the first date after we had decided, we went to the TGI Fridays up in the Arboretum and then went and saw Twister. And it was one of those where it was so funny because it was in that point where I was talking to her. I was like, well, yeah, you know, I was thinking about maybe checking out Twister tonight. And oh, well, would it be all right if I came along? And I was like, I said it because I'm inviting you. Maybe you missed that part. We don't have time for your games, woman. There is intercourse to be had after watching Twister with some potato skins in our bellies. And that was one of those, nights where it was like the end of the school year. My roommate had pretty much moved out. And it was like, oh, we'd finished. Well, what should we do? I don't know. We could go back to your dorm room and listen to music. And I was like, yes, we could.
Yeah, we could
do that. We could do that. Let's, you know what? Let's do that.
I've thrown some tater skins down your throat. And I expect some easy handling.
Yes. All right. Hold on one moment. I think, well, it'll be ready when I'm done with my beer. There is some Big Flats.
Oh, Lord.
Ready to be drank. And you know what that means. We are very sad.
God.
Barbaric.
But then, see, he was cool enough in Twister. But, you know, that very... The only thing I remember from that movie was he's in it for the money. He doesn't care about the science. Like, he's a rogue.
Yeah.
Tornado chaser.
They really had to shoehorn a villain in that.
They really did. And, of course, it
sounds like they're going to do the same thing with this Noah picture.
Yeah.
I've heard the radio spots for Noah.
Yeah.
And as exciting as a movie radio spot can be.
Oh, yes.
And at the end...
The story is based on the story from the Bible. Although its artistic license has been taken, we believe it holds true to the integrity and spirit of the story.
Oh, so...
Oh, really?
So either you changed a lot of shit, and you're expecting a bunch of Bible beaters to get crazy,
yeah.
Or you didn't change much, and you expect a lot of Bible beaters to get crazy, or you probably did nothing.
Yeah, and expect a bunch of
Bible beaters to get crazy.
Yeah. I think that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Damned... To hell for eternity.
Because the great white roadie nation is going to take down that boat. Watch out. It's a collection of metal fans.
I don't recollect.
All attacking Noah, who goes from 80s metal fan to post-metal fan. There's many layers.
Yeah, yeah.
In the hair-beard combination.
Is it like a burrito?
Of many things. Yes, everything burrito of... Metal genre.
Right.
/ Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Oh, wow. It looks like Hope's done early today. Huzzah. Oh,
huzzah.
So I'm not left alone on my own devices for dinner tonight.
No.
I was going to cry. I was going to guilt you guys into taking me out to dinner. I wasn't. I totally was. You'd be like, well, I guess I'll go home and eat a peanut butter sandwich over the sink in my underwear. We in a house, motherfucker.
I'm taking my lady to Witch, bitch.
You write your own name on your bag.
I write my name on the sandwich bag, and then I hand it to the woman who has to make it. Double meat! Yay, yay!
It really is so much more glorious than we're making it sound.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
It's like, so I just hand you this bag with a bunch of check marks on it, and that becomes a sandwich in a bag?
Which was created by somebody who had worked for at least 4 different other chains.
Right.
And wanted to cover all the dumbass questions.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't ask for onions when I said everything, and you told me there were onions on it, and I said there were no onions, but I wanted everything, and you know, explained to me. They're like... You wrote it on the bag.
You wrote it down, stupid.
On the bag.
Yep.
It's on the bag.
It's kind of like You Are Cooks.
It's your fault. Yes.
Kind of like You Are Cooks, the motherfucking con of all con.
It really is.
Come to a restaurant, we'll sell you a steak that you get to cook yourself.
No. No, 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 no.
Well, no.
It'll be fun. No, that's not fun.
Like, I remember we went to You Are Cooks once as a work group, and I was like, yeah, I want you guys to cook this medium. Like, you don't want to cook it yourself? I was like, motherfucker, am I at home?
No.
Why am I paying your asses?
No. Not happening.
And cook it. Although yes. I could see you enjoying it because you could then cook it as rare as you genuinely like it.
Yeah, but I'm only going to do that with meat I know.
Okay. With meat you've gotten up close and personal
yeah.
with.
Meat I've looked close, up, right up close at.
Yeah.
And I've handled.
Yes.
Fondled.
Gotten very familiar with.
Uh-huh. Yes. And,
yeah.
And
stared
and
wistfully into. Yes. That's good eating, sir.
Consider a song like Slap of Hole, which you mentioned by the group Dove Shack.
Which you mentioned. Brr.
Oh.
Perfect. I paint a picture. Bomb the hoochies with precision. It's ain't nothing but a gangster party.
That's what I'm saying.
Speaking of giant meat you've seen up close, he was also in Boogie Nights.
That's true.
See, that's the shit 200 episodes teaches you to be able to pull off.
Comedy gold.
Comedy fucking gold. I think it's my favorite performance of his.
I really do.
Just because there's that sort of sadness and that trying to be cool.
You know, if you don't think it's cool, I get rid of it.
You know, just that trying so desperate. The guy who's never been cool for a second in his life, who's finally close to somebody who's cool, who likes him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to fucking handle it.
Except sniff cocaine.
Sniff cocaine. Or eat too much chocolate cake.
Yes.
Or eat too much chocolate cake and then boff it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, dude, the you have to check out, it's, oh, shit, how have I forgotten his name already? I've watched it, like, a bunch. It's this stand-up special on the Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's on the Kroll Show. Hold on, I'm going to look it up because you've got, I think you'll love it. His name, the interesting part of the show where Jim yet again looks something up, John Mulaney.
Okay.
It is my current, I've like watched it four times. It's so fucking funny. I think you'll love it. I genuinely think you'll love it, Clarkson. You have to check it out.
Fucking
better. No, you don't know. You don't even know. You're just going to love it.
Mm.
Yeah, that character though of his in Boogie Nights just broke my heart. Cause it's that, like, anyone who's ever been a fucking outsider that finds a group of friends and is totally insecure with it and doesn't know how to react can fucking relate to that character. Granted, not goes in that same direction necessarily,
right.
But it's like, yeah, dude, I've been the loser. I've had no fucking friends. And then all of a sudden it's like, camp, dude, that's what that shit was. Yeah. I'm fucking, oh my God, there's people that I like and they like me. And I, what?
What is this?
Your lies and treachery, folks. Theater
no,
folk.
No, we really like you. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You don't even understand me. And how dare you? Fuck you all.
Well, that really happened.
And then you cry.
Barbaric.
It is barbaric. Oh, man. See, that's what I love about Hoffman is he's able to bring that level of shit to something.
Yes.
You know? You just don't get it that much. You just don't get it.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! He was in a short movie called Culture. He was in Liberty, the American Revolution, where he played Joseph Plum Martin. Don't know what that means.
No shit.
A movie called Montana and Next Stop Wonderland, which is one of those movies I always wanted to watch because it had that crazy hot chick on the poster, but I just never saw it. Not crazy hot, but hot enough on the poster. Then the part, actually, let's step back. I think I liked his performance as Scotty the most. I think it's my, but Brandt. From the Big Lebowski.
This is our concern, dude.
We are all big fans of Mrs. Lebowski.
Wonderful woman.
That
we're all very fond of her.
That fucking dude who is that tightly wound, and you're like, oh my God, you're going to throw something.
Shit, yeah, the Achievers. I love that line he throws off at Hoffman in that part. Shit, yeah, the Achievers. It's... As an aside about Jeff Bridges' performance.
Oh, yeah.
He's so into it. It's just like, that wasn't in the script.
Yeah.
He
nailed it.
I'm here. Yeah. I inhabit this character now. Shit, yeah, the Achievers.
Shit, yeah. Would you like a big flash?
I don't think I have a choice in the matter.
No, you don't. I'm glad you admit
so, in the meantime.
And dude, I'm gonna have it in our studio. I'm gonna have a little fridge just for beers and sodas.
Sodas.
It's gonna be wonderful. Yeah, that. It's funny. Anytime that there's a student who, as like I was talking to you about earlier, who I'm just gonna Snapchat with my mom during class.
Yes.
That's what my guy I work with refers to as a little Lebowski urban achiever. It's just any kid who's just like. You're at the end of your ninth grade year and you got credit for one class and that was gym and your year-long average in PE is a 71.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that kind of, that's a little Lebowski urban achiever.
Yeah, it's like, it really is.
Okay.
It's not about the rug.
No, it's not.
Brandt.
But Brandt can't watch unless he...
Wonderful woman. We're all very fond of her.
God, he's
going to find a cash machine. Oh, my God. That was good.
That just because he
the best part, actually, is something that's not a line. He says Lebowski's in the West Wing or whatever he is and just does this. Lebowski, Mr. Lebowski.
Yes, throws the arm out and then.
Oh, Perfect.
You just told me to pick whichever rug I want.
You know what director didn't say? I need you to do this.
Yeah. Even though
I need you to put a little bit something more into it. Okay.
If anyone would have, it's the Coen brothers. You know, if any director pair out there had that image in mind, it was them. But
maybe.
Honestly, I could just see him throwing that.
Just kind of, you know, gesture towards Lebowski in a, I don't know,
in a submissive
kind
way.
Of way. Like, I'll do this.
Oh. God damn, that's fucking brilliant.
You must almost curtsy as you walk out of the room backwards.
Oh, yes. And what's so great with Brandt is the level of, like, total seriousness that he throws in after that, that you absolutely can't take seriously because he's just rolled over and shown you his belly.
Yes.
Already he's just like, look. Ooh. And it's just, no matter what you try and pull after that, it's like, no. I know who the fuck you are. It's that John Malkovich thing. Like, I love that movie where you played that jewel thief. I never played a jewel thief. No, that was you.
That was you. Yeah.
Like, don't fucking tell me I wasn't you, boy. Boy.
Yeah.
Fucking nailed it. I love that. Now, I did not see Happiness. I saw parts of it enough to be incredibly disturbed by it just because it had it's a Todd Solondz. And once it got really into
the same guy that's storytelling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Once it got really into the Dylan Baker raping kids thing, it was like, I can't.
Dear God, no.
I can't. I mean, there was blood in my PM. That line, I can't deal with it. Which kind of makes Patch Adams tough to swallow. I only saw that once, and
oh dear,
that I don't know if there's ever been a more great. Well, no, there has been. That is one of the greatest cases of Oscarbation ever, ever. It was like, oh, we're totally gonna get Robin Williams his Oscar.
They really thought that whole butterfly thing would really send it home.
Yeah, we're gonna fucking nail it with
that. Was the go home there,
Robin? You're gonna be building a house out of awards after this.
Oh,
it's gonna be fucking great. It's gonna be
brilliant. You get a few of those.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, but that one just, everything about that movie was just custom made for it.
Yeah.
You know, little kids with cancer, fucking angry dude who's dying.
Not since Pay It Forward.
That fucking thing. Oh my God.
They tried real hard.
Oh man, I almost spit my big flaps out.
No.
That was the most emotionally manipulative goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. And you've met the woman I used to be engaged to.
Yeah.
So you know that I am no stranger to emotional manipulation.
What's that one with Tom Hanks about 9/11? What was it?
Big extremely thing loud and incredibly close.
Yeah, now, extremely big, incredibly right up in front of you.
Yeah. The guy who directed that, like, I think, I forget who it was that directed it, and I don't care. Like, everything he's done gets nominated for an Oscar for some reason. He's just one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was an ad for that. I took hope to see The Artist, which I don't care what anyone says. I fucking love that movie. It should have won Best Picture. Everyone can suck it. There was an ad for that, and I was like, oh, God, that looks fucking stupid. And then the second Drew Barrymore movie that has ever provoked an out loud response from me in a theater, it was the one with the fucking whales trapped under the ice, which of course you probably don't remember.
What?
But it was this whole like based.
This is based on a true story.
Type. Wow. I don't know why it sounded like I was on a bad public access channel that.
Tune in later when local film critics Jim Dirks and Clarkson Campbell will dissect this week's new releases on Austin Public Access.
And you'll love our section on Native American folk drumming.
I don't like that at all.
Followed by the original Alex Jones show.
I remember watching that shit when it was public access. And there he is on Piers Morgan like, ooh, you brought the crazy train on.
We also have the Freeman perspective for people who need Moss crazy.
Yes. Oh, yes. Uber Moss crazy. But let's see. Okay, yeah. So it hits the end of this movie. These whales get stuck in ice and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, right now I'm almost.
Is it called Trapped Under Ice?
If only. I don't remember what it's called, but I almost dislocated my shoulder doing the jerk off motion to that. It was just like, wah, wah, wah. But it hit the end of that trailer. And it's one of those that was meaning to be all inspiring. And it hit the end of it. And I went, and Hope was like, stop being an asshole.
I can't.
The best reaction was we went to the midnight premiere of Inglourious Basterds, and there's the preview for Whip It.
Oh, yes.
On the forehead, and it hit the end of it, and it's like, whoop, whip it, and it fades black, and I wasn't even thinking, I went,
Jesus Christ! And the entire theater, it was my George Costanza, that's gotta hurt moment.
Oh, God.
Everyone just fell out. I was like, I looked at my friends, they're like, no, it's cool, man. They liked it. But I was like, fucking really? Fuck this shit. Fuck everybody.
Like that dumbass fucking werewolf movie, which I know, I realize it is
narrowed it down some.
Blood and Chocolate.
What?
The trailer for this thing. I can't remember what it was in front of. Probably something equally as dumb that I paid to see.
Sangre y chocolate.
Blood and Chocolate. It was just over the top fucking Evanescence video of a fucking of a trailer.
So they know exactly. I can picture it exactly. You know what I mean?
It's really like small town goth, just over the top. It's set in France and all this bullshit. And I just started laughing my ass off, and everyone kind of right. It wasn't like I started off the laugh. I just happened to get there a breath before everyone else.
Right. Whenever I think of Evanescence, I went out with a lady who was a not bad singer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to say who it is, Pele Rojo.
Okay.
But she loved to do karaoke shit and took it too far.
Oh.
And somehow would always end up doing the Evanescence stuff. But she couldn't hit a note clean.
Oh.
And so what is the first fucking resort of someone who can't hit a note clean? Vibrato the shit out of it. And I got to a point where I felt like I was going to have a goddamn stroke every time. It was like fucking Pokemon card. Just, seizure. Just, I can't duplicate it.
Right.
But it was straight up like, you know, those people who just have the over dependence on a whammy bar. It was just like, like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening to me and why?
That's not good.
I need to shut her up.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Consider a song like Slap a Foe.
No.
I think that's what you mean.
Virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
Don't sing anymore.
No. See, I was going to gently and tenderly kiss her.
Good job.
And that would prevent any more singing. Yes. Oh, man. Oh, dude, this is the first time we've recorded this without sharing a wall with somebody, so fuck it. We can just do it.
That's why I'm so loud.
Yeah, as well we should be.
God damn it.
Really, is that necessary?
Yeah. Of course it is.
Of course, sir, of course.
There's no place for that in podcasting.
You fans can stick it, brother.
Brother. Speaking of brother, do you think Sam's going to start listening on the regular now, or just...
There's no telling.
There's no telling, yeah. It was funny, you were talking about how your nephew was like, everyone must know. My niece, I recorded, you know, we did that at the movies with my sister's kids. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to that in a second. Her dad came home, and she was like, did you hear us on the radio? And I was like, no one heard that.
No.
Very, very statistically... Statistically speaking, nobody's going to hear
Did
this.
Did you hear us on Phil Ogden's radio?
Were you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you in England?
Mm-hmm.
But my sister's like, you have to have Maggie on the show. She's starting to dissect movies. Like we watched Grease and she was like, I don't get this. And started like, pop, like, oh my God, yes.
And now you understand that Grease 1 is bullshit. The only thing that matters is Grease 2.
Where did Paulin go?
Exactly.
Yeah, there it is. But when I'm with that, could you imagine a little 9-year-old fucking sporting like, here's what I don't like about Gone with the Wind. Go.
Go.
Go. Go. Fucking jam. Go. Just
whittle, You need another beer? Is that what you need?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. We'll tell your mom. It's fine.
Yeah. Have some Z-Quil and talk. Let's see where this goes, kid.
It'll be fine.
Man. Who are we talking about?
No idea.
Philip Seymour
Hoffman. Oh, yeah. That's it. Like,
I am one of them people who loves Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love that movie. I don't watch it all the time. I think it drifts a little bit because of what he was going for with the narrative structure on it.
Uh-huh. I saw it once.
The opening is so fucking good. But here's what I like about Hoffman in this movie. I have, and I've been admitted a fan of this, and we mm-hmm. both have. I'm a fan of good, small acting.
Oh, of course. That's small, my whole thing. I love it.
Small acting. This was brilliant. Small acting. Mm-hmm. perfect. I mean, he was guy looking after a nurse, looking after an old man who's dying, dealing with his wife. Where it's like, you know, we can give him this; it'll dull his pain, but he won't. He really won't be himself. I mean, yeah. It was just the brilliance of that. And I mean, him, Robards, and Tom Cruise. I am very tired of people fucking slamming Tom Cruise, because that dude is, first off, a crazy hardworking actor.
Yep.
He busts his ass in everything. And I know there's this popular, like when everyone hates on, everybody hating on Katie.
Hate is going to hate.
Hate is going to hate. Everybody hating on Katie Holmes and Batman Begins. She was not bad in that movie. You need to shut the fuck up.
Wasn't bad.
She wasn't great.
There could have been more.
But the fact that everyone then talks about how
she
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
She was perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, and how Maggie Gyllenhaal was so much better. No, yeah. She wasn't.
There wasn't enough of Maggie Gyllenhaal to do anything. There was enough of anyone
yeah.
to do anything in either role, really. And I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, God, what the fuck is she even doing here?
Right. I think she was fine.
She was fine. And Maggie Gyllenhaal didn't bring anything new to the table.
Yeah, yeah.
She got blowed up real good.
She did get blowed up real sexy.
So.
But,
That's what happened.
But Tom Cruise's scenes with Tom Cruise's monologues in Magnolia are fucking amazing. When he breaks down on stage, that old woman. Oh.
Yeah.
And you see where that mindset comes from. And it's like, God damn, this is a dude who was just screaming for somebody to show him how to be a better person. Yeah. And no one ever did. And he found the attention by being fucking awful.
Yeah, and he did a really, really good job, just like damn near everything else he does.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a draw. Mm-hmm. When he stops putting asses every 18 inches,
yeah,
then we can bag on him, I suppose.
I will say, Brian Callen and what's his fucking name? Comedian Paul F. Tompkins. Mm-hmm. They talked about him as down-to-earth as he could possibly be. Brian Callen was like, when you talk to Tom Cruise, you feel as though you are the only human being in the universe because he is there. Fucking Tompkins was like, yeah, I was in the reading for this movie. And I sat down. Tom Cruise is sitting next to me. He's like, oh, hi, I'm Paul. Oh, nice to meet you, Paul. I'm Tom. Nice to meet you, most famous person in the world. Like when I met the lead singer of Flogging Molly, he's like, oh, I'm Dave. Yeah, motherfucker, I just paid to see you in concert. I bought my ticket 6 months ago.
This shit sucks compared to Fastway.
Yeah, and then just
look
at
it. You didn't play one Fastway song.
God,
was that a flute?
If I just
bitch,
said,
I didn't pay for a flute. What is that?
I saw the flute.
Whatever, it sounded like a fucking flute to me. Oh, fucking Fastway.
It would have been
bullshit.
If I just said that to him, I think he would have died. Like, dude, you can't throw in one Fastaway song.
Yeah, really.
He probably would have fucking laughed his ass off.
Would you fucking bring that up again?
How dare you?
I'll fucking kill you.
How dare you, bye. Oh, man. But,
And then, yeah, punch him in the mouth with some big flats. I'm going to try this now.
It's not bad.
It's the water.
Oh, my God, you've never had it before.
No, never, never.
Oh, it was VJ and I had it.
Good lager beer.
Export lager beer. That is the most alcohol at the lowest price in this shop. And by the way, just so you know, you are drinking a beer that by six pack costs 50 cents.
Woo!
And seen.
All right, here we go. That tastes like the 90s.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not great.
It's actually not that bad.
I know, for how cheap it is. I'll say this, for how cheap it is, it's amazing. For how cheap it is.
It's really pretty good.
Yeah. Punch somebody in the balls not as hard as you could have is what I'm saying here.
There's a... What is that towards the end there? Do they power pack that twang with some sugar?
I don't know. They might. It's got a little bit of a... at the end of it. A little... What?
My dick is in the punch.
What?
That's from Hollywood Nights.
My dick is in the punch. He's screaming at someone named Dick.
Is that was that a Newbomb Turk or an honor student line?
No, it was Newbomb, I believe. Newbomb. Or one of Newbomb's friends. My dick is in the punch. My dick is in the punch. He's screaming about someone named Dick. It's impossible.
He played it with his dick. That film.
Okay, there it is.
Which you should see.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be intimidated out there by the picture of Tony Danza.
You know,
Tony Danza's in it for about 3 minutes.
You know who showed me that movie? Erica. And she was quite insistent that we watch it.
People that know.
I know.
No.
They know. It's funny. Every time I laugh and look up, I'm just like, what in the shit?
Yeah.
And it's seriously, it was just like a spastic painted the ceiling in this place.
Yeah. It's like they had a Cannonball Run of ceiling painting.
And even the fucking border is just like, I got a lot on the ceiling. Whatever.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Some schmuck's going to buy it and they ain't going to,
Yeah. Joke's on us. The person that bought it before us was like, I don't care.
Whatever. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Why paint? Why do anything?
Yeah,
why sweep?
Oh, man. I can't wait to move. Yeah. Seriously, I drove from my place, my future place to your place. It's like 6 minutes.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Both of our ladies are really going to get tired of each of us, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm coming over, man. I'm making lasagna from scratch. I'm even making my own sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Hey, Clarkson, come over. Let's make some food.
Bring Indian Joe in the backyard in the lean-to. I'm never letting it go. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop.
Never going to stop.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
Because we can't stop, and we won't stop. Never.
Big flat.
Yeah, big flat.
So, anyway, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He was... Magnolia is, it's one of those movies that if you expect a conventional narrative, you're going to be fucking angry.
Yeah.
But if you go in and saying, okay, the way that Paul Thomas Anderson described it is it's like the Beatles' A Day in the Life, how it seems like it's always building towards a climax that it never hits and then it drops and then it builds. That is this movie. And that's what he wanted to write it as.
Well,
and that's,
spot on, sir.
Holy shit. He did that and by the way, he was also in Flawless that year, which I never saw.
No.
It was like Robert De Niro and he played it, and Philip Seymour played a drag queen in it. He was also in The Talented Mr. Ripley, which I liked. That was back in the day when I was managing the movie theater, so I saw everything for free. I had no friends. I made no money. I was a loser, a boozer, and nothing else.
Right.
It was like, I'm gonna tell you a very depressing story right now. All that I did was I went to work, I would come home, drink beer. My normal meal was...
God damn.
I literally feel like mascara running. Eat Marie Callender's chicken pot pie.
Oh, God.
A majority of the time. I had in my living room my TV with my VHS and my PlayStation 1 hooked up to it. And a double recliner in front of it that I never fucking sat in because there was a pillow laid against it where I would lay on the floor against the pillow. There was a space where my body was. To the right of it was a bunch of beer cans and Nesty Cool iced tea cans. To the right was just a pile of empty Marie Callender chicken pot pie tin things.
Barbaric.
It was the saddest. I played the Star Wars Episode I video game beginning to end.
Good Lord, man.
I would come home from my job managing the movie theater on Friday nights like, ooh, TGIF is on. It was so fucking sad. I was making like $7 an hour. I had enough to pay for the apartment. I had my computer like directly behind that. And it literally, I just get on, do some emails, get off, and just lay there on the floor playing a video game or watching a movie. It was so fucking sad.
I didn't go through that at that point in the 90s.
It was 99, yeah.
I was completely fucking down, but I was in a band house, so I couldn't get away from it.
Oh, yeah, where the carpet is hard.
Yeah, yes. So I wasn't lonely because people wouldn't leave me alone.
Somebody just cringed.
Yeah.
The carpet
was
hard. I'm grabbing another Big Flats. Are you good with yours?
I'm fine.
Okay.
This is a good 50-cent beer.
It was dark days, but I couldn't be alone because no one would leave. It was only till later when I moved to Houston and I was working for that demolition company.
Right.
where I knew no one except my sister who lived down the way.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't going to hang out at her place.
Yeah, which sister? Night.
Kathleen.
Kathleen, okay.
So I would just, this is my loop. I would go to work, uh-huh. do whatever. On my way back, if I didn't go to the Irish pub to wait out the traffic, a.k.a. drink till 7.
Wait out a couple of pints.
Yeah. Couple.
Couple,
I'm
yeah.
a professional, goddamn.
wait out. I was trying to make
my little
buzzed
way back yeah. towards the old... If I didn't go to Keneally's, I would usually eat there.
Right.
So if I didn't go to Keneally's, I would make my way back up to 1960
uh-huh.
and do the loop.
Yes.
I would hit McDonald's
uh-huh.
and then a Shell station to pay for my beer and cigarettes on credit because I didn't have any goddamn money.
Right.
And then home. Excuse me. Hollywood Video and then home.
Okay.
And I would basically, I just went from A of the horror section uh-huh. and went down.
Interesting you should say that. Here is really what my sketch.
My TV VCR combo. Oh. It was about this big.
See, I
for
had...
people listening, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So
it was like
a
12-inch, yeah.
My entire tenure in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
On that same box, it uh-huh. sat there in my dirty, white, broken chair, smoked cigarettes, ate McDonald's, and dragged myself into oblivion watching fuck knows what. I don't even remember now. Bad Moon.
My usual trip was this. I would, from my apartment, I was at 51st and Lamar,
mm-hmm.
the Pecan Grove.
Oh, yes. I know it well.
So, yeah.
But I saw your ghost once.
Yeah, where you see, yeah, exactly. Right next to the best goddamn comic book store in the fucking country.
Oh, almost. Easily.
Yeah. I would drive, a little jog, take 51st across to airport, go to I Love Video.
Yeah.
Back before it moved to the fancy two-story mm-hmm. digs. I'd go to I Love Video, maybe walk into Austin's Best CDs, where they did the coolest thing ever. You know how they're those CDs that are in every used CD store that nobody wants to buy?
Yeah.
That they would have these mystery packs where it was like wrapped in newspaper. You'd pay like $2 and you'd get like three CDs. And I bought one once. I got Soul Asylum, Grave Dancers Union, a Seal CD single, and... like a breeder's disc or something.
Dude, how much fun would it be to try to put those together?
Oh, God, yeah.
That would be great.
Fucking mix that shit. But so I'd go from there. Then I'd cut around to the big old HEB, which, interestingly enough, the HEB there on 35 across from the Fiesta that has the Sears on it, that Sears is where Charles Whitman bought the shotgun that he used when he went to the top of the tower, where he shot the lady with the shotgun before he went and sniped everyone.
Yeah.
Hit that. Drive back down to 51st, cut over to my place, and sit there and wallow in my crapulence of Nesty Cool and chicken pot pie goodness.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
True darkness.
God damn, those were...
True darkness.
Those were the days. And then,
sometimes I'd feel my a bit indulgent, and I'd go to the Walmart across from Cutting Lane and get myself a big potty tray of chicken wings.
God damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's
fucking terrifying and sad.
Yeah, you look back at yourself in those days. I'm trying to think what was my splurge.
But at least I wasn't doing drugs at the time.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That came a little later.
Yeah. I drank occasionally.
And earlier. It was up there, but only there a couple of times.
That was just the most depressing time of my life. And then when I was off from work, it's like, I guess I'm going to go to Half Price Books and buy a bunch of books. And now I guess I'm going to go to this place and buy some books. Like,
I had the greatest half-price books on 1960. It was like a way station for other stuff. So I would just go and buy a shit ton of VHS.
Right. See, I was the idiot who was like, I'd get it in my head that it's like, I want to read this book.
Oh,
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would go from where I lived down to the South Lamar one. I'd go 20 miles to go to this, buy the book, and then never crack the fucking spine.
I'm going
to
read all of Jack London's work. You know how far I got?
You probably got to
Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild. Oh, wow. You finished one.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
And Seawolf.
I bought these.
I still own a copy of Seawolf.
I'd buy these stacks of books and I wouldn't even, like I said, wouldn't even crack the spine.
Pretty decent picture with Edward G. Robinson, by the way.
Yeah.
Pretty decent. Relatively close.
Like, I cannot drive down airport past the I Love Video without having just that little twinge of a flashback. Because I can drive 51st because when I lived there, that's when me and my friends started hitting barflies.
Mm.
And so that's right there. So I could drive that without feeling it. But yeah, hitting the airport and then going to that little turn at 35. People who don't live in Austin are like, God, these
what
guys
are you talking
idiots.
About?
Like,
yeah.
coming up next, Jim and Clarkson talk about different places to buy a chicken pot pie in Austin and Houston.
Locally sourced, organic chicken pot
pies. No,
they are. They are.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, they are. I grew them myself at Mary Callender's, who was my old lady at the time.
Speaking of, I think I'm going to get one of those vacuum sealer things for the food, just because.
Why not?
Why the fuck not?
We're not eating chicken pot pies and drinking Nest tea now, bitches.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Rolling.
Some shit. Rolling, y'all. Fat stacks, yo. Mm-hmm. Fat stacks.
Big flat stacks.
Nice. See, I knew you'd like big flats.
I enjoy big flats.
So
I enjoy a bargain.
Yeah.
And alcohol.
Who shouldn't?
Now that fucking hipsters have raised the
price of PBR.
The hell.
Jagoffs.
Got to go to the Champagne of Beers.
Yeah. But, oh, no, we don't.
Not anymore.
That's awful.
Not with Big Flats.
Yeah, Big Flats, yeah.
They made these in Tall Boys.
Oh.
We would be in some high cotton.
If they made those in bottles.
Easy, Waldorf. I said Tall Boys. The only thing that comes after Tall Boys is a period.
Okay. All right, then.
Mm.
Let that word resound.
Period?
Yeah.
All right. Have you seen State in Maine? David Mamet's State in Maine. It's quite good, and I think you'd like it.
I like David Mamet.
Yes, I think you would enjoy it. So as you've not seen it, let's skip on to... I know you're not a big fan of Almost Famous, which I don't understand.
I'm not as harsh on Almost Famous as I used to be.
Okay.
I still think it's a skosh overblown.
Right. I can get that.
It's a well-made film.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. My bitch was never, this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't get the big shit.
I get it.
I just don't get it to the same extent as people who really like it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I got to say, though, his performance tears it down.
Yeah. Everybody's performance is really good.
Jim Morrison's a drunken buffoon. Give me the Guess Who. They have the courage to say we're drunken buffoons. And when he's digging through shit, he finds Iggy Pop. Let's put it on.
Yes.
And he's doing the Iggy Pop. Although the moment that I love from that, when he's talking to the kid on the phone, and it's like, of course I'm home. I'm not cool. Of course you like them. They make you think you're cool. And dude, I've met you. You're not cool. It's such a beautiful moment. And I liked it. I think he made that. There's nothing more beautiful than the moment people share when they're just not being cool.
Yes.
And that's like, I think the first night we hung out together, it was just two dudes being as uncool as possible.
Yeah.
Just cracking each other up. With fucking Dickie in the room.
That's pretty much
pour out the fucking 40 for Dickie right there.
That kind of explains my personality at the time. Or probably till this day.
Right.
To this day. All right. I'm just going to try to keep it together.
Yeah.
And put off whatever I can put off to either keep people away or attract the right folks. And when I do, then I can go, okay, great.
Uh-huh. And I think I've always been the guy where it's like, until I'm given
it. Can be this guy now.
Yeah. Until I'm given the chance to be on stage, I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm just going to be over here.
Yeah. Well,
and then it's like, okay.
Finding like-minded people was my stage.
And it's like, Jim, shine. All right.
Yeah.
It was like when I was talking to your niece last week.
Until then, I'll scowl and smoke. Right. I don't smoke anymore, so.
When I was talking to your niece last week, and I was like, okay, no. Fuck all that. Here's what you need to focus on in school. This is garbage. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And your brother and sister, your sister-in-law are like, wow, that's like more honesty than, okay, sure, do it. Yeah.
Just listen to them. Giant man.
Yeah, listen to what he's saying. He knows a thing or two.
No, it was good. That was very good conversation.
That was awesome. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Almost Famous is not Almost Famous's fault.
Yeah, yeah. It's
people
everybody
showed
around
up
it.
With fucking Almost Famous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know me. I wait 1,000 years to watch a movie unless it's fucking Superman that I got to be at their first fucking day, bro.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, Poppy.
First showing, yo.
Yeah.
But,
or some stupid, childish bullshit. WrestleMania? We're going to go there right now. But whatever. Not Almost Famous. Not a good movie.
No.
God, no. Why would I do that? Why would I see a quality film? Fuck that in the
Who
face.
Who has time for
The
this?
Artist.
Yeah.
I have sleeping to do.
Exactly.
So, but people showed up going, this is the best thing ever. You'll love it. You didn't want to tell me at the time that I'd love anything.
Yeah.
I probably watch it now and think it's great.
See, because the way I always approach it with people is like, dude, I love this movie. I think you'll dig it. That's like the
well. That's the way about, I. Yeah. I'm talking about mutants, Jim, not you.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, in general, that's the way I try and sell movies. It's, oh, I think you'll dig this.
Yes.
I don't go.
No.
This is Remo Williams.
How was it?
And it's the best movie I've ever made.
2002. I had moved back to Austin. Oh yeah, yeah. I was surrounded by a lot of people who were going the dude route.
Dude,
almost famous. It's well, really great.
It was sort of like when Fight Club hit. And it might as well have been, instead of Fight Club, it might as well have been called Asshole Litmus Paper.
Yeah.
Because it real quick let you know who amongst you was an asshole.
Everyone I knew, everywhere, loved it.
Okay,
including me.
Check this out. I was listening to a James Bonding podcast, mm-hmm. which if you haven't listened to them, they're fucking awesome. It's but they in the middle just detoured, just fucking digressed into this show that they called 1990 High Five, where it was talking about where you were and what you were doing in 1995. We should do that where you pick a year where it's like, 1999.
Great. We have just, a show right like, now.
Literally, it is. That's all we're going to talk about is what the fuck was happening in that year.
I have a lot to say.
Yes. And I think that should be next week. Let's talk about 1999. And it will be everything that we just talked about without us going.
Pretty much, well.
We really should talk about Philip Seymour. But I'm going to say this. I think Philip Seymour would appreciate what we're doing here. Because we are trying to entertain the nice people.
The people.
And the people who listen to this show.
Hey.
Because I did that.
Barbaric.
He hates you, Phil.
I am delightful. Oh, I am just delightful. Now, I'm gonna step back here in the Philip Seymour Hoffman and talk about a movie that I was so jazzed about seeing and was so utterly disappointed in to this fucking day.
Love, Liza?
No.
Oh.
Punch Drunk Love.
That's right. You're the one.
I only saw it once in the theater opening night. And I walked out. I was just like, I don't get it. I don't like it.
I remember thinking,
I probably need to see it again.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember loving it that much.
Yeah.
I don't remember going, wow, this is a really great movie, or I remember thinking this is fine. This is good.
Uh-huh.
I remember a few other people in my life at the time thinking, wow, this is really something.
Yeah.
They may have marked out a bit much when the comedic guy has a dramatic turn.
Yeah. See,
and that shit works on a lot of people. It really does. It didn't work on me necessarily.
No, uh-uh.
But because I've seen it done better. But
to me, they didn't focus on what was the most interesting part, which is a dude with, what, six sisters?
Yeah, there's where your meat is.
Oh, my God. Because could you imagine how awful that upbringing would be? And it's nothing against sisters. Or
I can't imagine that many people around me at the time. I'm the fourth of four by 9.5, almost 10 years. Yeah. So it's like I was an only child.
Yeah, uh-huh.
No, I had any concept of that.
All that I think of with it is I knew this guy. Well, I didn't know this guy. I knew these girls in college, the Shoe sisters. They were like these Chinese girls. There was like three or four. I don't remember. Sorry, Sandy, that I don't remember all your sisters. But they had a younger.
Seven.
They had a younger brother, and he was the only boy. And I just remember like, that boy deserves a fucking medal just for surviving to college. Oh, my God. Can you imagine having five older sisters?
No.
I would die. But that being said, all I remember from this movie really was going out of the theater afterwards. It was the Alamo Drafthouse Village right after it opened. Mm-hmm. And my friend Ken, he had this way of picking out the worst women in the world to date. Like seriously, just awful human beings.
I know people like this.
Yes. He was in the midst of dating one of those. My favorite story about her, I'm going to tell you this real quick. She fancied herself smarter than everyone. Down to a point that they came over. She had, there was a mingling of their friends once, and they had the game, actually I have two stories. The game Minecraft, where it's and she was like, let's play this. And she looked at Ken and goes, don't you think this game might be a bit heady for your friends? And we utterly fucking destroyed. It wasn't even close. And it was one of those things where they were like, they were riddles like, okay, what's the only 10-letter word that you can spell using only the keys in the top row of a typewriter? And I literally closed my eyes and went, typewriter.
don't know.
It was like, yes, that's right. And it was just, we were lodging him. And then,
fucking potato, asshole. I don't know.
But she was one who, another time, one of her friends was over, and I was drunk as shit, sitting on the couch playing a video game. And again, mingling of the friends, and this pain in the ass friend is sitting next to me. And someone's like, oh, we should play Battle of the Sexes. And someone's like, whoa, what's that? And he goes, oh, it's this game where it's like there's a team of men and a team of women, and the men get questions that stuff that women normally know, and the women get stuff that men should know. And this girl goes, it's not even stuff that they know. It's just things that society tells you that you should know. And in the middle of her sentence, I don't even look up from the TV. I'm sitting there playing the game. I go, and blah, 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 blah. And out of the corner of my eye, I see my friend Dan go, and it just dissolves on himself. And I looked up and went, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it did that out loud. And went right back to the game.
So sorry.
She's the one who fancied herself an intellectual, had taken a class on U.S. history, and learned about the boat people after the Korean War.
Right.
We had a friend who was Korean, and she asked him in these precise words, did your parents come over on the boat? And his response was, they were both doctors and flew here first class. But after this movie ended, I was outside. I was like, I just didn't like it. I didn't. And she goes, well, sometimes there's these things called themes that a director goes for. And I did one of those slow turns that like, oh, please tell me more about your theory on narrative strategy. I'm all ears.
Oh, dear.
Fucking twat. Shut your goddamn mouth. Good.
I did a similar thing back in the 90s with my friend Sam, where he brought up chess. He saw I had a chess set.
Yes.
He's like, oh, we should play a game. I was like, oh, you don't want to play me, dude. I'll fucking destroy you. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Years later, he was like, yeah, we never played chess because you thought you were so badass. And I'm fucking kidding. I'm terrible at fucking chess. I'm not that smart. You just bought it.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
You believed me when I said that. I said that out loud and you bought it.
Not that smart, but I'm a pretty good actor. Fuck you, dummy.
But yes, that is my punch drunk love experience. Yeah. I just didn't care for it.
It's quite an experience.
I might need to see it again, but I just got my back up so hard.
It's not that big of a fucking deal.
Yeah.
The people that really defended it over fucking reached it with their defense. And the people like me were like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Adam, I guess.
Yeah.
You could have done worse. It wasn't awful. It wasn't a bad movie.
Right.
Just,
You know what was a bad movie?
Red fucking Dragon was a bad movie.
You know how
movie.
Bad Red Dragon was? Oh, I forgot that he played Freddie Lounge.
That's right.
Have you watched any of the show Hannibal?
No.
Quite good.
That's what I hear. I saw a promo for the second season and wondered why I missed a film, a series that said, we need to write something. Clarkson.
Yes. Oh, I'll hook you up with it on a thumb drive that I got from somebody that handed it to me on the street.
Hmm.
Season one.
Excellent.
On a thumb drive. Freddie Lounds is a hot redheaded lady in the show.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. You know who played Freddie Lounds in fucking Red Dragon and Manhunter? That dude from Avatar.
Yeah, yeah.
And fucking Swole. I don't be all
Well, just like everything else.
Now I'm done with my impression.
Barbaric.
You missed me. Put my hand of a gold on.
Like everything else, that is superior.
Undoubtedly, sir.
Manhunter's better. Deal with it, people.
Oh, God, yes.
Deal with it.
Manhunter is so fucking good. It pisses me off. Some guy from Cracked wrote an article where it was like remakes that are better than the original and included Red Dragon. I was like,
oh,
fuck
what
you.
Are you fucking drunk you can, on stupid dicks? No. 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 Swig a dick for the dumb man because that is stupid. That is stupid. I need big flats.
Amen, brother. You most assuredly do. He was also, while he's doing that, I'm going to do a quick aside. After this, he was in a movie called The 25th Hour, which I saw once and never thought about again. But I actually met Eddie Norton and Rosario Dawson at a place called the Continental Club in Austin. A friend of mine dragged me to, he's like, oh, there's a rap party there. You should go. Ed Norton's not very tall, and Rosario Dawson is very pretty in person. Neither of these things should be shocking to anyone. That's a story. Yes, he's short.
I mean, generally speaking, not to you.
You're short.
To you, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, yes, he's short. Every person I know is short, except when I took my alternative certification class, mm-hmm. I took it with Uwe Blob, who was a German basketball player, 7'2". This massive fucking redheaded guy. He walked over, he's like, I'm Jim. I was like, oh, my name's Uwe. And I went, there was a guy in the NBA for a while named Uwe. Like, that was me. I was like,
oh, well.
You were the worst player in the NBA for a while, which means you are better than any basketball player I have ever shook hands with. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Big flats.
I like that you know my drinking style, to be like, oh, I'm done with one. That means Jim's on his second.
Yeah, pretty much.
God damn.
Let that word resound.
I genuinely want to be the spokespeople for Big Flats.
We should. We should be sponsored by Big Flats.
But they'll never do that. You know why? Because that artificially inflates the cost. I'll do it just for free Big Flats.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Walgreens, the offer has been made.
You heard it. There's money on the table.
Yes,
you want to move some Big Flats, don't you?
Go buy a bunch of Big Flats, and when you buy it, go to the person at the Walgreens, because it's the only place you can get it. Exclusivity. Yeah. It's like Studio 54. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, I heard about this on the Film Thugs, and have some absolutely disinterested person at a Walgreens go, huh?
Yeah. That and record it.
Yeah, and record it.
Vine
yeah.
it.
Fucking vine the shit out.
And send it to us.
Vine, look at me go, yeah. Huh? Oh, do and it. These Reese's.
Record it, take a picture of it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Do that. No, I'm serious.
I am serious as hell.
Go to Walgreens.
Yeah.
Get a six-pack or whatever.
In the UK, go to your version of Walgreens, which is like a...
Ye olde Walgreens.
It's a dressed-up Tesco. And buy the cheapest, you know, expert Jürgenbrau, whatever right. bullshit they've got, and video you talking to the person behind the
or
counter going,
sure, I don't care.
I heard this on the Film Thugs, and I'm going, what's all that then?
What? Yeah.
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about. What sort of bullshit is all this? Fuck off!
What?
And then go have a steak and kidney pie.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you people that have access to Walgreens, do that.
Yes. We'll as well, you should.
In memory of the topic of the show
Philip
that we
Seymour
can't keep running away from yeah. fast enough.
Because goddamn, that this is what the show's going to turn into very quickly. Once we're close enough to be like, whatever.
Pretty much it.
Let's record Tuesday night because we're bored.
Yep.
And I'm not in grad school anymore. By the way,
oh.
8 weeks, less than 8 weeks, and I will be Master
Seven
James.
And a half. Nice.
I am beginning of April buying a house, first weekend in May. I'm graduating. You can come to the ceremony, to the ceremony or not, whatever. Ribs and pinballs.
Yeah.
That's it. And I told Hope, I'm not driving that night.
Yeah. It was like my birthday.
Yeah.
I'm not driving.
I'm not driving.
It's not happening. If I take a cab, we need a cab. I'm
now,
not driving.
Now, my sister and her kids may be along. That'll happen.
Okay.
But I ain't fucking chaperoning.
No.
And boy, you'll see that kid CJ is going to be all over both of us because that boy adores me and he'll be all over you. I might even wear my robe to pinballs.
Why
but
not?
I won't because that'd be douchey. But yeah. And I'll wear it with the hood and
whatever.
Everything. Be like, Master!
Yeah. I'll carry around a boombox and play Master of Puppets.
Yeah! Like Radio Raheem. I remember seeing Cold Mountain, but I don't remember anything about Cold Mountain.
What about 25th Hour?
Oh, 25th Hour?
Owning Mahoney and never Mattress Man commercial, and I didn't see any.
Never saw Along Came Polly.
Nope.
I watched the show Strangers with Candy, but never the movie.
The movie
Strangers
was not
with Candy.
That funny.
Now, the next couple things. Empire Falls, never saw it. Capote.
Ah.
Motherfucker tore the cover off of it.
Yeah.
And this is where I feel bad for Toby Jones. The first of two parts where he had shit down but just had his thunder straight up stole.
Yeah.
He played Capote, the same year Hoffman did. He played Hitchcock the same year Hopkins did. Fuck, son.
Sorry.
You just damned. He probably played Lawrence of Arabia that year. Probably played Atticus Finch that year.
Sorry, bud.
Holy shit, son. But Capote, was an outstanding fucking film. What I remember about it, though, was going with an ex of mine to see it at the Draft House, and they did a preview for In Cold Blood, and it was the fucking worst preview ever because it was like trying to push the authenticity, like, this is the gas station they stopped at on the way. Here is the actual car they drove down this road.
Here's the nose of the person who got killed.
Yeah.
Here's a femur.
Yep.
Get a free femur at every show.
Free femur at every show. And a watch.
Yes.
But what I remember about it.
And a red suit.
What I remember about it was everyone forgets Capote was like 3 feet tall and just.
Yes.
But that was the most like. You want to talk raconteur? That was Truman Capote.
Yes.
He used to just show up on The Tonight Show and own it because he was fucking smart. What I loved was that whole party within a party thing that happened throughout that movie where they'd be at a party and he'd just be in a back room captivating a group. I look more like Truman Capote than Philip Seymour Hoffman does.
Yes.
But holy shit, he nailed the very essence of it and just beautifully. You know, it's weird. You know who played the Clifton Collins was originally Clifton Gonzalez.
Yeah.
You know who played his part in the Toby Jones one? Mm-mm. A guy named Danielle Craig. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But honestly, I would not.
Sorry, you had to follow Clifton.
Clifton, because yeah.
What?
You want to talk about the most fucking underrated actor out there? Clifton Gonzalez. He was the only watchable part of Boondock Saints 2.
And
you want to talk about fucking polishing a turd as much as possible. That dude was down there with a fucking electric, like a floor buffer. Like,
I'm doing my best, boss.
Sorry, guys.
Shining up here, boss.
Yep. I love that guy. He is one of those actors that if he is one of those people, like Ken Watanabe, you put him in anything, I'll be like, I love that guy. I'll watch him in anything. He's the best part of Traffic.
Yep.
Fucking nail shit. Goddamn, Clifton needs more work. That's all I can say.
Here, here.
Capote was fantastic, as was Mission Impossible 3. Just because I think you got a woman you love. Yeah, I'm going to hurt her.
Wow.
I'm going to hurt her in front. Like, which is why James Bonding was like, Philip Seymour Hoffman would be perfect to play Blofeld now that they can do it.
Yeah.
Although I have, now that he's gone, I have the perfect actor to play Blofeld.
Stephen Fry.
Nope. Oh. Vincent Cassell. Picture just that, the intensity, because he's good looking, but he's good looking in that harsh, scary way.
Yeah.
That slicked back hair, fucking staring down Bond. Just, I would love to see him. Only if Monica Bellucci was on screen as well, because I like to mess. Look at her. But sir. God damn, he's great. Now, I haven't seen Savages or Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
I have seen Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
How is this? Yeah. Yeah.
Felt like I should probably give a shit more.
Okay.
Well, I didn't. I did give a shit, however, about Charlie Wilson's War, which for whatever fucking reason around the 07, I had to watch 1,000 times.
And God damn, if you've got
oh my God,
Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts, and I'm like, Hoffman fucking destroys. I put a microphone in the bottle.
Microphone in the bottle.
Just the way he did that, just that.
I spent a month learning Finnish. Or whatever he says.
Everything about him in that movie is perfect. You know what he reminds, have you ever seen Hopscotch?
Yes, of course.
He is Walter Matthau from Hopscotch.
Yes.
The old school Cold War spook who's just like, well, yeah, this is what I do.
Oh, God, he is good.
Spent a lifetime mastering tradecraft.
He
the
runs
fuck?
Away with that picture.
Yeah, it's not even close.
No.
It's not even a contest. It's one of those
every
things.
Every scene of it. Even the scene he has with Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks in the bar.
Yeah.
After, I can't even remember what it actually is. I've seen it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Last one 1,000 times while drinking things that are stronger than Big Flats.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, he's trying to get Julia Roberts to go to bed with him.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't work out. But the way he handles it is just perfect.
Here's the way I look at it. That would be like if you had two amazing guitarists from back in the day. If you had like, you know, Eddie Van Halen and Angus Young.
Okay.
Hanging out jamming. And then this new Vi kid walks in the room. And it's like, here's something I can do. He's like, cool. Hey, have you ever tried this? And then just does something that neither of them, like, what is that? Yeah. What the fuck? What did you do?
Yeah, it must have been what Stevie Ray Vaughan felt at every house party he ever went to in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
The land of fucking rogue guitar players. Everybody's a guitar player.
Yeah.
I play guitar. Same you play here. Guitar a hell of a lot better than I ever did.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Thousand upon thousand other guitar players right now. Stevie Ray Vaughan is walking to a house party and it's like, oh, okay, well.
Here's a little five-bar blues.
You're an alien.
And just like, what the fuck did that guy just do? And here's the thing. Here's what blows me away. You know Stevie Ray Vaughan? Folks in like Australia, and they have no idea.
No.
Most of them don't. Some of you might. If you are in England or another country and don't know who Stevie Ray Vaughan is, it was like when George Jones died and Stewart posted, I don't know who he is. Listen to this, 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 and this. And he replied later like, oh, I quite like this. Like,
yes.
As well you should. And had you said anything other than that, I'd buy a plane ticket to beat you into a coma right now.
I didn't know who the Skyhooks were. I fucking know now. Yeah. I'm in a uniform. Why don't you all get fucked? These are classics.
Nice.
Thank you, Australia.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, all I will say is download Pride and Joy, either the MTV Unplugged acoustic version or the one off of his album, or fuck, download his live version of Superstition, and you'll get an idea of how Stevie Wonder must have felt when he's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, I am good.
I'm a good writer, but what the fuck did that gentleman just do with my shit?
We're overexposed with him here in Austin.
Oh, God, we are neck.
He's a fucking alien. He's an alien.
He really is. He genuinely is.
Anyway.
Now, I have not seen either. I saw Schenectady, New York, and just.
That was his thing. He directed that, right?
No, that was a Charlie Kaufman.
Oh.
I believe. Let me make sure because I'm going to feel. Yeah, Kaufman wrote and directed it, so there was no tempering the Kaufmanism in it.
I see. Ooh, my.
Whatever.
That must have been something.
Doubt, don't care two shits about.
Oh, yeah.
Mary and Max is so goddamn good, it hurts.
Really?
It is a story about this. I'm forgetting. I'm wanting to say Australian girl. An 8-year-old girl in Melbourne, Australia, who somehow starts this random pen pal relationship with this weird shut-in guy in New York. And he's the voice of Max.
Oh, okay.
And it's this kind of very cool claymation animation type stuff.
Oh, okay.
It is one of those. It's Tony Collette, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Eric Bana are the main folks in it. Mostly it's Collette and Hoffman. It's so fucking touching.
Cool.
It's so good because it is basically just a collection of their letters back and forth. Oh, my God. And it's Hoffman sells it because he does this sort of working class New York guy. He's a guy who wins the lottery. Mm. And all he wants to do is stay at home and eat his chocolate hot dogs, which is a chocolate bar. Wrapped in, I forget what it is, but it's just this like just fucking awkward, socially awkward shut-in guy.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking good because it's this beautiful friendship that develops between these two people.
Cool.
Oh my God. It's one of the few movies that I will describe as beautiful. It's so fucking good.
Nice.
And he followed it up with Pirate Radio, which good, but meh. That's the one that I wrote the review of where I just talked about rock and roll music in the 60s in England. The fucking streets were just covered in shattered monocle glass. Like, good God! Everywhere.
Right.
You couldn't take a step without cracking a monocle.
Good Lord, what is this?
What on earth nonsense are you doing now?
Thomas Carlyle will not agree with this at all. Nor would I. Where's Oswald Mosley?
No.
Agree with him.
Good God. And then the invention.
You know what I'm saying?
Heil, honey.
The invention of lying, which is one of those things that is a clever idea, but fucking, what's his name? Ricky Gervais just gets a little too Ricky Gervais. Oh, I'm an agnostic and I'm an atheist and it's up, fuck you. And blah, like, oh, it's ever so clever. I got over that when I was in middle school, motherfucker.
I'm exhausted.
Yes, I'm sorry.
With Ricky Gervais.
Just don't have time, sir.
And I think he's a funny, funny guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He really is a funny, clever fellow.
Yeah. His stand-up is fucking fantastic. But
God damn it.
Yeah.
Get off of it.
Yeah.
Just get off of it. No one gives a shit anymore.
Yeah, stop it. Stop it. Why?
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If I were an atheist, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. Shit. Then he was in The Ides of March, which I don't remember him from, but I remember thinking, it's not a bad movie. It's all right. Mm-hmm. You know what it needs, though? It needs what every political movie needs, and that is a little thing called Peter Capaldi.
Well, yeah.
You put Malcolm Tucker in every political movie, and I'll lose my fucking mind.
Pretty much.
Did you see the shit that I posted on Facebook with Capaldi talking to the little autistic girl? Mm-hmm. Like, I can Prost, my man.
Yep.
I'm down with you now. You're my doctor officially. He was great in Moneyball.
Absolutely.
Again, okay, Hoffman suffers from what I call Ben Kingsley syndrome, which is the no shit. Oh, Ben Kingsley was really good in that. No shit. Oh, so it wasn't the movie Ben Kingsley decided to phone in?
No.
I mean, he fucking phoned in that blood. He nailed that Blood Rain. He was committed to Blood Rain.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
You know? I mean.
Better to that check, but he still showed up.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. But Hoffman in that. Oh, dude. Moneyball, fantastic movie. I thought he was great in it.
It was very good.
Now, honestly, I have not seen anything he's done past the next movie. So I'm just going to dedicate some time to talking about how fucking incredible he was as Lancaster Dodd in The Master.
Okay.
Have you seen The Master?
No.
You know of it, yes?
Oh, yes.
He goddamn nails it. I mean, this is a guy whose career is nothing but amazing performances. This might be the best he has.
Really?
Fucking kills it because you see where this shit comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly Joaquin Phoenix's movie. Right. Joaquin Phoenix is the lead in it. By the way, okay, so I watched I'm
Working.
I'm Still Here. I'm whatever that.
No one else has ever watched professional wrestling, so no one will know what I'm up to.
You know what I wish would have happened with that movie? If he would have had the behind the scenes shit of him out of that character, like backstage at Letterman, like, okay, well, am I going to be able to pull this off? Am I going to be able to make... By the way, I just did the perfect turn my neck to the side and felt the crack down to the middle of my spine. Like, oh, man, if that had been mic'd perfectly, it sounded like I was breaking celery. But he, if they'd seen that where he's just like, let's fucking do this. Let's just fucking make this happen. It would have made it...
It looked great.
God damn. But The Master, he absolutely... fucking nails it. Now, here's what blows my mind about The Master. I'm going to go on a little aside here. Have you ever watched the show Workaholics?
No.
Okay, well, one of the woman who's on that show, a woman who's in that, wrote it. And she was one of the writers on it.
Okay.
And it was surprising to see. Goddamn, Paul Thomas Anderson is just determined to be the Orson Welles of his generation. He really is. Fucking criminally underappreciated by the masses. But the people who know are like... Shit.
Hey, there will be blood, man.
He just made that. He just made that happen. He just made Daniel Day-Lewis that much better.
Yeah.
And then it was like Steven Spielberg.
My jam.
So Steven Spielberg's like, oh, motherfucker, really? Let me show you what I can make him look like.
I may do West Side Story. What do you think about that?
He's like, oh, yeah, you think Daniel Day was good in that? Cool. How about I have him play Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah. Guess what?
I love that movie, and his performance was so fucking balls in that.
Just on that plane view, buddy.
Yeah. Oh,
so sorry.
Still, you mean still not John Huston?
Hey, either way.
I'm an oil man. You would agree.
Yes, he is channeling John Huston.
You're a bastard in a basket.
Bastard in a basket.
I'm screaming at a deaf kid because that's how horrible
I am. That's what
now.
I do.
Fantastic. The... It's not enough that I succeed, but everyone else must fail.
Again, the small acting.
Yeah.
These people.
People.
And then smiles.
Uh-huh. Oh, and that's the thing. People forget.
God damn it, that's good.
People forget that how big all this shit is. Day-Lewis is the master of the small shit.
God, he is. And apparently, O. Hoffman does the same thing in The Master. From what I
God damn, yes. Genuinely does.
Awesome.
Genuinely awesome. Does. I mean, it is ground up. Here's how a cult happens.
Yes. Well, that's... Yeah.
These things occur, Clarkson. I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass on this one. I could, but I shan't.
Don't do
Big
that.
Flat smoke up your ass.
Big flat.
I seriously, we need to start doing more Vine commercials for Big Flat.
We should.
Like helmet, because people love those. We've got literally like
dozens,
twos and threes of responses of people who are like, Big Flat hopes that it's canoe beer. You can drink it.
Hope's Best, actually. That's the OG.
I think Hope's Best video that I've done, fucking forced her to do on Vine, was her tasting the chicken and waffles chips just because her face is so...
Oh, the chicken and waffles.
She looks at me with such a, why did you do that?
There's one being that I know enjoys the chicken and waffles, and it is my fat rat Terry over there.
Fat dog. By the by... The fucking Walgreens betwixt us, fucking lousy with them. the place that ran out of Big Flats that was chilled. The place that has, I almost bought it for you, but I was like, I don't think he'll want the complete run of the original American Gladiators on DVD.
No.
Even though it only cost $5.
No,
I think this might be a mistake. No. A lot of out of shape people.
Yeah.
Up in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's good times. See, you know what I realize the difference between mine and your neighborhood is? Mine does not have restrictive covenants, which just means that there might be the odd boat parked in someone's driveway. Which
backyard is a separate room.
My father used to get so angry about that in Florida. He'd lose his shit. The guy across the street has a goddamn Winnebago in the front yard. Like, why
is the Winnebago driving through your front road, Robert?
Yeah, why do you care, road. Daddy? Road? Don't worry, go with
yard,
it.
Yard, road.
It's Florida, whatever.
Fuck
it. Is it on your pavement?
Yeah. Your patch of dirt?
Exactly. Wow, that was accidental. All I'm saying is I can't wait to not live in Austin anymore.
I understand. All week I've seen the impending traffic of South by Southwest. Oh, this is happening South by South. Oh my God, the wreck here, backed up this, the backed up that. I'm like, that must be awful.
Yes. Oh God, I'm not going
to
because
I don't have to deal with a bit of it. Fucking bit.
I am I am one of the few adults out there who's like spring break.
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm going to play a shitload of Grand Theft Auto. Anybody who's playing Grand Theft Auto 5 online that wants to play with me, I'm not going to give my gamer tag out online. Although, should I? None of my students listen to this.
I don't care.
Republic of Jim.
Nice.
If any of you want to play with me online with Grand Theft Auto, that's where you can find me. I'm good.
Do it.
Good, motherfuckers.
And I have a new Twitter handle out there. I had to deactivate my old account.
What is it?
Clarksonomicon.
What happened to Clarksonian?
I never really liked that.
Uh-huh.
I set it up when I was new to the whole Twitter thing to begin with. So I was just like, I'll throw it as a test balloon and kind of took off. And I responded to one thing politically about Russia or whatever.
Right.
And then it got retweeted by some Nazis. And they started copying me and their retweets.
My
like,
God.
What the
Holy
fuck?
Shit.
What are you talking about, dude? No, 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 I'm not home. That's not, no. I was just saying, I'm not, no.
No.
No,
no, no, no,
no, no, no, no,
no, no, no.
That's not what I was saying.
No.
I, no, no, no. No, I meant, historically, oh, fuck it. Sure.
See what I hate?
So I just couldn't take it.
See what I hate?
I block things. I block, and people sort of fall. No.
What I hate is I have a very old sound list thing that I'm like a sound list drop that I have no idea where it is. I have that no.
Yeah.
No. Fuck, but it's
how's that sound?
There we go.
Yes.
Oh shit, I got you good, you fucker.
Oh wow, a lot of these things are just gone. Fuck.
What? What?
Wow.
Barbaric.
Holy shit. I have entire playlists that are useless now.
Well, that sucks.
And I'm sitting there fucking hammering on
this. But Uncle Billy does. Why? Because he's an asshole.
Shut up! Oh my God, I don't care!
Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell.
That was the longest conversation I've ever had.
Because he's an asshole!
That dog is kind of an a-hole.
And that's all I've got for you right there. But I think if nothing else can be, I think there are only two things that can be taken away from this podcast. One, Philip Seymour Hoffman was a fucking hell of an actor, yes, and the film world is worse off for his loss. And you and I are some fucking short attention span having motherfuckers. That's about right. So should we wind this thing up and let these poor, poor bastards back to their lives?
Let's put a bow on this.
Yes. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can email us at thefilmthugs@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to submit a question that we won't know about until we do a show where we answer it, you should send that to thugquestions@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. If you'd like to tell us a story, you should dial 512-666-RANT and leave a message for us. It will be part of a hilarious comedy bit on our show. Or if you're international, you could call us at @the_film_thugs on the Skype. Additionally, we're on Facebook, Twitter @thefilmthugs, and Vine. He is Clarkson Omicron on Twitter. I don't really have an individual Twitter feed. I just put all of it out there.
I have two others. I've got Buffy's Lament and Admiral Adama. I've got fucking multiple. Now I'm rolling.
Exactly. And on top of that, if you want to buy anything from a t-shirt to a trebuchet to a human baby, you could go to thefilmthugs.com, click on one of our links to either Amazon, T-Fury, or Onnit for some exercise equipment. And that'll hook your shit up. And, I think that's it. And until next week, I just want to remind you of something. Battered women might sound delicious, but that doesn't make it right.